right, I want to invite you to grab your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 17. Wonderful worship today. I'm trying to convince Karen to just move on to Houston and join Champion Forest. Wouldn't that be good? Karen, you hear it back there. Thank you so much for leading us today. Praise team, choir, orchestra, so great to have all of you here. I want to begin today's message just by bragging on you, Champion Forest, and really I'm bragging on God working through you. This has been an incredible week of ministry in the life of our church. I'll just start with our CMC, our Community Mission Center, which is there here on our campus, and many of you provide goods so that we can feed the hungry here in our community, and it is such a great ministry. Many of you volunteer your time, and perhaps you've seen this bell on our social media. I want to show it to you. It's there. It's got Luke 15:10 on it. In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Luke chapter 15, verse 10, it's in English, it's in Spanish, it's in Vietnamese, because that is the majority of the languages that are spoken here in our surrounding community. And while we want to meet physical needs in our community, what we desire to do most is meet the spiritual need of our community. And every person that comes in that gets groceries has a one-on-one conversation. The gospel is shared. And if someone receives Christ, this bell is rung throughout the entire building. And it's just a sound that we love to hear. And it shows us that someone has come to know Christ. It was rung twice yesterday because two people prayed to receive Christ here on Saturday on our campus, coming in from the community. And it's just wonderful. It's just wonderful. We want to meet needs, but it's all about pointing people to Jesus. Our staff challenged them in a couple chapels. We have a monthly chapel session where we pray and worship together and just talk about what God's doing. And I gave them each a 4x6 picture frame, empty picture frame. I believe I told you about this. And I asked them to put it in their office area as a reminder that we need to be out in our community sharing our faith. And I wanted them, challenged them to fill the frame. Share Jesus and fill that empty picture frame. You got to look at it every day. And when you lead somebody to Jesus, take a picture of that person that you've led to Christ, that you're discipling, put it in the frame and celebrate what God is doing. Well, this week I received this picture. This is of Luis Maori. You know Luis. He was on our staff at the North Klein campus, but was here at Champions for years and years and years. Well, I got a text message from him with this picture, and listen to what his text read. Remember my friend I was telling you about? I took him a cookie cake to celebrate his 80th birthday tomorrow, ended up staying 2 hours, and he prayed to receive Christ. I am so pumped, is what he said. And so so I responded in caps with it, yes, fill the frame. And I love seeing our staff out in the community serving people, loving people. But again, what it's all about is pointing people to Jesus. I think about our Upward basketball program, hundreds of kids in our Upward basketball program. I'm actually coaching the Lady Bears 10-year-old basketball, and they had my blood pressure up way too early yesterday morning. Weren't rebounding like they know they can, and it was driving me crazy, but we pulled it out. We're doing well, but you know, at Upward basketball, every week we have practice, and at the halfway mark, the whistle blows. And they bring all the kids in the gym in. And this week, Stephanie Chase, our children's minister, was sharing the gospel. Somebody snapped a picture. And do you know, through Upward basketball, Beth Swanson's doing such a great job leading this program. Did you know that we had 15 young boys and girls pray to receive Christ this year through our Upward basketball ministry? I'm telling you, we want to teach the game of basketball. We want to have fun. If we're going to keep score, we want to win. But most of all, we want to point people to Jesus. This is what it's all about. I left the campus yesterday and went by our incredible car care ministry that our deacons lead out in. Look at this picture right here. I love this. These men are meeting the needs of single moms and widows in our church. They changed the oil filters, the air filters on these. I looked at one car yesterday that had 325,000 miles on it, all right? Only reason that thing's going is because these men, these deacons, are keeping that car going, and I love them for it, and they're out there early. And of course, we want to bless these people, but most of all, we want to bless them and point them to Jesus. It's all about pointing people to Jesus. And then we had our preteen winter retreat, where we had hundreds of preteen kids, and you'll see some B-roll footage going on behind me of what happened here, and these kids came in. And they had this science fair theme going, and they worshiped together and then had fun. They had inflatables and Gaga ball and all that kind of stuff that they do. But then we sat them down and we shared the gospel with them, and a number of them prayed to receive Jesus, and we're following up with them. And I underscored this at the outset, Champion Forest. I celebrate what God's doing in us and through us. And I just want to say, emphasize, underscore more and more and more. Listen, any program we do, any event we put on, any ministry we take part in, we are going to use it as an opportunity to point people to Jesus. This is what it's all about, because we know that only Jesus can transform a life. Only Jesus can change a person's eternal destiny. And I brag on what God is doing here because it sets up where we're going with the message today. It's the title of the message. It's the big idea that I'm trying to communicate. If you're taking notes, write it down. It's all about pointing people to Jesus. Now, last week, we introduced you to Paul's second missionary journey. It takes place shortly after the Jerusalem Council. If you remember from a few weeks back, the church gathered together and they affirmed the essential doctrine of the church that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. In other words, in order to be saved, in order to be made right with God, in order to have your sins forgiven, there's not anything else you have to do but trust in the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and in his resurrection, period. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. You don't have to convert to Judaism. You don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to obey the Jewish customs and the laws. And the church affirmed this teaching, and Paul and Barnabas took what the church had affirmed, and they went back up to Antioch. Now, I want to show you the map here just to catch you up. Scott Riling preached last week in my absence, did a great job, talked to you a little bit about this missionary journey. They come right back up here to Antioch, and they decide that they want to go check on the churches that they planted in the first missionary journey. Now, keep in mind, only 2 or 3 years has passed, and so they want to go back through, and they want to look at all these churches that they planted in Asia Minor. Now, there's a dispute that arose up between Paul and Barnabas. If you remember, it had to do with John Mark. The Bible says it was actually a sharp disagreement, okay? And if you remember, on the first missionary journey, they came up to this town of Perga right here, and John Mark decided he wanted to go home. And we don't know why. I kind of related Perga to New Orleans before all the good restaurants. You know, it's hot, muggy, marshland. And so John Mark decided, I'm out of here. And we don't know if he was sick. We don't know if he just decided to throw in the towel and gave up. Whatever it was, Paul wasn't over it 2 or 3 years later, okay? And so they have this dispute, and they decided, let's just go our separate ways. And so Barnabas takes John Mark with him, and they go here. They go under 249 and cross into Cyprus, all right? And so, bad dad joke. And I love seeing my girls' faces when I tell it, all right? And so they go into Cyprus, and then Paul and Silas, or Silvanus, as he's also called in the New Testament, decide to go up, and they come in back into Asia Minor. They go through Cilicia here. They come to Derbe and Lystra. Here's where they meet Paul. I mean, that's a relationship in the New Testament that we're going to read about, 1st and 2nd Timothy. They have this mentorship relationship. They come up here through Phrygia, and their goal is to get into Bithynia up here. But the Bible tells us, covered this last week, that the Holy Spirit prevents them. We don't know how, but the Holy Spirit just didn't open a door for them to go here. So they come here to Mysia, and they get here to Troas. It's a port city right here, and it's at Troas that Paul receives a vision from over here in Macedonia, right here. This is modern-day Greece, and there's a man from Macedonia that says, Paul, come over here. We need you. And so Paul and Silas, they hightail it from Troas, and they come over here to Macedonia. They land in Neapolis right here, and then they get to Philippi. This is where we left off last week, and if you remember, they go in, and they're preaching Jesus in Philippi. They get arrested. They get beaten with rods. They get thrown in jail. And then we pick up in Acts chapter 17, and the Bible says this. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Now, very interesting, on their way, Philippi and Thessalonica, they traveled down this road that was called the Ignatian Way. It was 500 miles from the Aegean Sea all the way across Macedonia. It's interesting, this road was built mainly for the Roman military to be able to get from place to place. It also served as a transport for goods and services. And I just highlight this road they were traveling on because I think it's interesting that God's always in the details in ways that we don't know or understand or comprehend. Like he's always working underneath the surface. He's always doing things behind the scenes that we're not aware of. The Romans thought that they were building this road for the military, and they were. They thought they were building this road so that they could transfer goods across the country, and they were. But God was working behind the scenes so that the gospel could be advanced on this same road. You never know what God's doing in your life, how he's working behind the scenes, underneath the surface, in ways you may never know or comprehend, might not even be for you, may be for your children or your grandchildren. You never know how God is working. What a God we serve. It reminds me of this quote by John Piper, who said this: God is always doing 10,000 things in your life, and you may be aware of three of them. And that's true. Verse 2 tells us, Paul went in, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. Remember, this is how he rolled. He'd go into a city, and he'd go into the synagogue. This is where the Jewish people read the Old Testament law. They were familiar with the prophecies. They would have known the prophecies about the Messiah. And so they start there sharing Jesus. And the Bible says Paul, on three Sabbath days, reasoned with them from the scriptures. Now, if you write in your Bibles, I want you to underline that phrase because we're going to come back to it at the end of the day. If you're taking notes, just write in the outside of your Bibles or right there on your page. Paul knew the scripture. He was able to reason here in verse 2. The Bible says explain and prove in verse 3. How could he explain and prove and reason? Because he knew the scripture. It says he was explaining and proving, verse 3, that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer. See, that was the hang up for the Jewish people. How can the Messiah of God suffer and die? They couldn't wrap their mind around that. And so no doubt Paul took passages like Isaiah 53 in the Old Testament, the suffering servant, Psalm chapter 22, picture of Jesus on the cross. No doubt he took passages like that and showed them this is who Christ was, that he had, according to the scripture, verse 3 here, to rise from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I proclaim to you, he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. Now, something I want to extract out of the text right here, and I just want you to think about. Everywhere Paul has gone, nearly, it hasn't worked out well for him. Beaten, stoned in other places, at a minimum, run out of town, arrested, put in jail. And I want you to think about what he's doing. I mean, he has no ulterior motive. He's going to these places to tell them about Jesus, about how heaven came to earth, to tell them how they can have their sins forgiven, how they can be made right with God, how they can be saved and forgiven of their sins. And everywhere he does this, nearly, it doesn't end well. I mean, in Philippi, he's beaten with rods and thrown into prison. Acts chapter 16, verse 22 and 23. I bring this up just to say, if it was me, if I was Paul, just speaking honestly here, I think I'd be a little jaded by now. You know, like, I'd probably be a little suspicious of people. And I can promise you, I'd be frustrated with God. Here I am doing the right thing, evangelizing the community, making disciples, planting churches, and in return, I'm getting beaten, thrown in jail, and ran out of town. Now, that'd be very frustrating to me. Anybody been there? Like, you're trying to do the right thing, but it's just not working out. You're trying to love your ex and be patient, but it's getting you nowhere. Or you're trying to serve your boss or your employer, but they're not living honorable lives, and it's not even helping you, it's actually backfiring. Or maybe you're living for Jesus, you're faithful for Jesus, you're living with integrity, and you don't get the promotion. You don't win the election. I mean, there is little more frustrating than trying to do the right thing, and not that it doesn't work out, but it's actually hurting you, wounding you, costing you. This is Paul. And it's just amazing to me that in the midst of this, he keeps going. I mean, this isn't the point of the message today, but I wanted to highlight it here. It's a lesson in perseverance. It's a lesson in endurance. It's a lesson to keep going even when things don't work out. Let's not give up so easily when things don't go our way. Let's not get too bent out of shape when reality and our expectation doesn't line up so well. Let's stay faithful to Jesus, even when it's hard, even when it's difficult, even when we're living for Him and things aren't working out on our behalf. Let's stay focused on Jesus when it appears, and I put appears in air quotes because we know it's never true, but it may appear that God has forgotten us or abandoned us or doesn't want anything to do with us. Paul could have easily said, forget this. I'm not doing this. I'm doing all the right things, and yet it's not working out for me. But he didn't do that. He stayed focused. He persevered. He stuck with the game plan. He endured the hardship. He persevered in tough times. How did he do that? Well, there may be a number of reasons, but one major reason is this. Paul's focus wasn't on himself. His focus was on the advance of the cause of Christ. And he knew that this cause was worth it. So any price that he had to pay, the advancement of Jesus and pointing others to him, this is what it was all about. And so he kept going. For Paul, the mission was bigger than him. It was about Jesus and pointing others to Jesus. And again, in the end, listen to me, this has been reinforced to me this week, unlike ever before in my life, living for Jesus and pointing others to Jesus. At the end of the day, it's all that matters. It's all that matters. This week, I just got back from Dallas. Had to perform the funeral of a 38-year-old woman that I had the privilege of marrying to her husband. Here's a picture of her. Brian and Stephanie Williford. Was on staff with them at my previous church. Brian's like a brother to me. I actually brought him on staff there. They met, I married them, destination wedding, about 4 years ago. Last Friday night, the age of 37, 38 years old, Stephanie died. She was the girls' minister at the church, and so for 15 years has been investing her life in young teenage girls. And to be at that funeral and to listen to the testimonies and the tributes, and to preach, and to be able to say Stephanie lived not a long time, but she lived for what mattered most, the glory of Christ and pointing others, specifically hundreds of teenage girls, to Jesus. May that be the driving force of our life. It's what drove Paul. May it be what drives us. Look at verses 4-6. They're there in Thessalonica, and some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women. But the Jews were jealous, and taking some wicked men of the rabble, they formed a mob and set the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring them out to the crowd. And when they could not find them, they thought that Paul and Silas were in Jason's house. They weren't, so they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also." Man, I read that and I just circled it. Turn the world upside down. And I just wrote here in my notes, would that be said of us, Champion Forest? That this church, right here on the corner of Strzok and, is it Airline Steubner or Steubner Airline? I never remember. This church turn Spring and Klein upside down for Jesus. That Jersey Village has been turned upside down because of the testimony of our church. The North Klein area, Tomball. Teenager, what about your school? Can it be said of you? Man, this school's been turned upside down because of your witness for Jesus. that team you're on, upside down because of your witness for Christ? What about your business, your workplace? It's been turned upside down because of your witness for Christ. Now, keep in mind, they're visiting Thessalonica around 49, 50 AD. That's less than 20 years since Jesus has been raised from the dead. It started with 120 believers, and the testimony of the church of Jesus Christ has made it this far that people are saying they have turned the world upside down. Now, we know they had turned it right side up, but you get the picture. They turned it upside down. Look at the difference they made in less than 20 years. It's convicting, isn't it? I mean, I look at the church, and we don't hear this about the church anymore. I mean, truthfully, we hear more about scandals in the church than community transformation. Amen. We hear more about division, everyone doing their own thing, going after their own cause instead of pulling together for the common cause of Christ. We hear more about compromise and lukewarmness instead of a hot-hearted pursuit of Jesus and a passionate pursuit for the glory of his name to be in our city. Fact is, we're not turning the world upside down because if we're honest, we love the world a little too much. We look a little too much like the world. And so instead of embracing and separating Jesus, separating ourselves from the world, oftentimes we're embracing it. I don't know about you, I want to get back to this. People saying, man, they're changing, they're turning the world upside down. They're changing the world. For that to happen, it starts with me. It starts with you making a commitment that I'm going to live for the glory of Christ. I'm going to point others to him. You keep reading this passage, and they make Jason and the team of disciples pay money in order in exchange for Jason's life. And evidently, there was a deal made that you get Paul and Silas out of here. And so the Bible says in verse 10, the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and they received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily. We'll come back to that in just a moment to see if these things were so. Now before we unpack this section of scripture, just notice how the church is working together. We talk about the church making an impact, turning the world upside down. Why? How did they do this? They were working together. I mean, you read the New Testament. All these letters that were written to the Philippians, to the Galatians, to the Ephesians, to the Colossians, these were towns that Paul went to and planted churches. He's just been at Philippi. You know, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, written to people who were leading churches that were planted. So when you begin to read the entire testimony of Scripture, it's incredible to see what was going on. And what we read is Paul leaves Philippi after he'd been arrested and beaten. He comes to Thessalonica, and the ministry of Thessalonica explodes after Paul and Silas left. It's very interesting to me. Paul and Silas had no idea that planting this church in Thessalonica, that if you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I don't have time to do it. Read it in your time alone this week. But Paul is going to say, Thessalonica, your faith is an example for the entire world. Your steadfastness, your love. And he challenges the entire church. He says, all of Macedonia has heard of your faith, Thessalonica. It's amazing. But you know how Thessalonica was blessed? The Bible tells us in Philippians, Paul writing the church at Philippi. Listen to Philippians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. And you, Philippians, yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. And then look at this. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. The church was working together. The church in Philippi was sending resources to Paul, so that the church in Thessalonica could grow and flourish. They had no idea that this church in Thessalonica would become a model church for all of Macedonia. Paul and Silas had no idea that this church was going to flourish like it did, but the church is working together. If we want to point the maximum amount of people to Jesus, the church is going to have to work together. It's why our multi-site strategy is so very important, that we're aligned and that we're moving on mission together. And it's one of the main priorities of our church this year to get our campuses aligned so that we're moving in a straight line together. It's why we want to work with other churches. It's why we created the CF Connect. We're bringing in March 50 pastors, 60 pastors in from all over North America. And you enable us to do this when you give to CF Connect and to our missions ministry. Why are we doing this? So we can bless and resource and encourage pastors from all over North America and work together to plant churches. Why? Because we want to partner together so as many people as possible can be pointed to Jesus. This is why we do what we do. And so when you give to missions, all of our mission partners, and we're working so hard to redo our website so that you can know exactly who you're giving to, so that you can pray for people, so that you can give to people. See, our personal witness, yes, through our personal witness, we want to point people to Jesus, but we can also point people to Jesus through praying for them, intercessory prayer, and through giving. And so when you give, I'm telling you, man, we're just money laundering that. We're sending it out to other churches so that the gospel of Jesus Christ can be advanced. This is what it's about, pointing as many people to Jesus, even in the forward offering. If you just look at that as building enhancements, if you just look at that as carpet and paint, you're looking in the weeds. The big picture is we want to get people here on our campus. And once they're here on our campus, we want to point them to Jesus. That's what it's all about. Pointing people to Jesus. That's what Paul and Silas are doing. They're chased out of Thessalonica. They get to Berea. Here's the map. Berea's off the beaten road, about 50 miles from Thessalonica. It's not on that Ignition Way. It's off the road. And they get here to Berea. And look at what the Bible says about these Berean Christians. Verse 11. Now, these Jews were more noble. Some of your Bibles translate the word fair-minded or open-minded. They were thoughtful. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness. Look at this. Examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. If you ever driven out in the country, take note of it. Next time you do a road trip and you're out in the country, notice how many churches you go by that are called Berean Bible Church or Berean Baptist Church. I Googled it this week. I think there's six of them here in Houston. Berean Bible Church. Why would they be called Bereans? Because they're modeling this verse. They want to be known as a church that studies and examines the scripture. Paul knew the scripture. The Bereans, it says, examined the scripture. And that word examine, it's a word picture of a judicial investigation. Think lawyer, think detective, just going through the evidence, sifting for what he can find out. That's the picture here. And this is a picture of our devotional life. We ought to be searching and examining the scriptures daily. Let me give you very quickly how to do this. Just a simple illustration. This is from the Navigators, but it's worthy of being shared. It's a picture of a hand right here. You'll see it on the screen. This is how we grasp God's word, if you will. How we know God's word. How we grab it and put it into our heart. We meditate on it. Man, we think about it. You know, you could read the word of God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for the rest of your life and never uncover the truths and the depths of the gospel. So my encouragement to you is to take it slow. And when you read that one verse that jumps off the page and into your heart, own it, meditate on it, think on it, memorize it. The Bible says, I've hidden God's word in my heart so that I won't sin against him. The Bible is the sword of the Lord. It's our only offensive weapon in spiritual battle. Oftentimes we're losing spiritual battles against temptation because we don't have God's word in our heart. So we meditate. We study. That's Acts 17:11, what we just read. We read it. You got to start somewhere. So we read the word. We hear it. Man, I've got an app on my phone. It's called the Dwell app. I can get on there, pick whatever version of the Bible I want. I can have it read to me from someone in any part of the country I want. If I like that certain accent, I'm like, on it. I can have it play hymns while I read it. And I can put a timer so I can go to sleep to it. But it's just getting the word of God. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of Christ. These Bereans, they knew God's word. They studied God's word. They examined the scripture. God's word is where the power is. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. When we read the Bible, it reads us. It ain't like any other book. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says it's God-inspired. It's God-breathed. Verse 15 and 16, Paul tells Timothy, man, stay true to the scriptures because it made you wise into salvation. And he said, for all scriptures breathed out by God and is profitable and useful for teaching, correcting, and training in righteousness. There's power in the word of God. You want your marriage transformed? Submit it to the word of God. Want your priorities in line? Give yourself to the Word of God. There's nothing like the transforming power of God's Word. And so like the Bereans, let's give our lives to it. Paul and Silas, they're hanging out with the Bereans. It wasn't long before the Jews from Thessalonica find them. They cause all sorts of trouble. And so Paul has to get out of town, and he goes down to Athens. Athens, the seat of intellectual power, worldly philosophy at the time. World religions was rooted all throughout its history. One writer said that it was easier to find a god in Athens than it was a man. Worship anything you want. All these philosophers talking, this is where Paul ends up. In Acts chapter 17, we're told in verse 16, Paul was waiting for them in Athens. He was waiting for his team to join him, and his spirit was provoked within him as he saw the city was full of idols. And he reasoned, there it is again, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and devout persons in the marketplace every day. He went where the people were because he knew people mattered to God, and he wanted to point as many people to Jesus as possible. And some of them, verse 18, were Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. We'll talk more about what this means next week. And some said, what does this babbler wish to say? Others said, he seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities because he was preaching Jesus in the resurrection. Preaching Jesus in the resurrection. You come to Champion Forest, we're going to preach Jesus in the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, may we know that this new teaching is that you're presenting, for you bring some strange things to our ears, and we wish to know, therefore, what these things mean. And Paul steps up to the plate, and you got to come back next week to hear what he has to say. But I want to leave you with this. Just some application. Number one, very quickly, seek to know the scripture like Paul. You read this passage as we did. Paul reasoned with them from the scriptures. He knew the scripture up and down. So many blessings in knowing God's word. The Bible says it's sweeter than honey. It's better than silver or gold. Man, long to know the scripture like Paul did. It'll guard you. It'll guide you. This is the importance of life groups. You can get the scripture here on Sunday morning. You're going to get it here when you come to worship. But in life groups, you can talk about it, converse about it. We encourage everybody here to be a part of an age-specific life group. And we can help you. Just go to our connections desk after the service. So seek to know the scriptures like Paul. Number two, seek to examine the scripture like the Bereans. They studied it every day. Remember that hand illustration? Take it, write it down, own it. This is important because watch this. If we know the scripture like Paul, and we examine the scripture like the Bereans, then watch this. We will be able to debate and reason with the Athenians. That's the world. That's who the Athenians represent. The world following their own God, doing their own thing. The most effective way that we can point them to Jesus is to be able to talk to them about the truth of God's word and show them that that is true. It's greater than anything they're ascribing to. I leave you with a verse and a sentence. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. So to conclude the message, here's what I want to highlight. If we know the scripture like Paul, and if we examine the scripture like the Bereans, then we will be able in an effective way to point people to Jesus. And this is what it's all about. Pointing people to Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.